The U.S. Supreme Court decision in the Dobbs case on Friday has been described as an earthquake. For the first time in nearly 50 years, abortion is illegal in parts of the country, not Oregon and California. Our states have some of the most far-reaching laws enabling abortion in the country, and those laws have generally increased access in recent years. Legislators left and right spent Friday either hailing or condemning the Supreme Court decision. Not just legislators either, people running for governor in both Oregon and California. We both have governor's races this year. Oregon Representative Pam Marsh of Ashland was among the critics. She joins us now with the recent history and what is likely to happen next. Representative Marsh, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Glad to be here with you.
Well, you know, we knew this was coming. I mean, despite the screaming about the leak, everybody did get a heads up several months in advance of this. But what was your personal reaction when the decision was announced?
Well, as you say, we knew it was coming, or we certainly had been forecasted, but it was still a punch in the gut. I think to open my laptop Friday morning and see that headline across the top of the screen was this tremendous, devastating reality check.
Yeah, it was that for a lot of people. But I mean, there's been lots of activity since then, demonstrations in many towns, even in Oregon. But Oregon does not really figure to change at all, does it?
No, it's really important as we look at this this landmark ruling and the impact that it will have in many states across the country to realize that in Oregon, abortions remain legal. They are accessible. We are a state that's really been very clear in staking out that territory to make reproductive health care available to everyone who needs it. And we are going to continue to really stake out that ground and make sure that services can be available in every corner of the state to everyone who is in need.
Let me take just a little side glance here at what the three women running for Oregon governor said. Tina Kotek said, "I'm furious about what the conservative justices have done." Tina Kotek is the Democrat running for Oregon governor. Independent Betsy Johnson said, "This is a fundamental right. As Oregon's governor, I will always defend and protect a woman's right to choose." Christine Drazen, the Republican, the former House minority leader in Oregon, said, "Despite the U.S. Supreme Court's decision, Oregon will continue to have among the most extreme abortion laws in the country and around the world. As governor, I will stand up for life by vetoing legislation designed to push Oregon further outside the mainstream." So certainly some different responses there. What is Christine Drazen talking about when it comes to Oregon abortion law and the ways in which it has liberalized just in the past 5 years or so?
Well, Oregon has a very strong reproductive rights protections. In 2017, it was my first year in the legislature, we passed the Reproductive Equity Act. And that requires insurance companies to provide reproductive services to all Oregonians without a copay, without a deductible. We also established a pot of funding for people who don't qualify for insurance plans, people who may not have documentation. The intention there was to make sure that everyone who needs services is able to get those services. Is that extreme? I don't think so. I think that's what's totally appropriate.
And that's the Reproductive Health Equity Fund you're talking about?
Right. That's right.
Through that, does the state actually pay for abortions?
Well, the state has always used public funding to pay for abortions through Oregon Health Plan. And in fact, in 2018, you may remember we had a measure on the ballot and that was overwhelmingly approved by Oregonians. The measure on the ballot challenged the use of public funding. Only 35% of voters supported that effort. So it's really clear that here in Oregon, we have a very strong level of public support for using public funds if that's what's required, or making insurance companies step up to the plate if that's the option.
How heated was and is the debate in the legislature about things like public funding for abortions?
Well, you know, I think it's important to remember that even though Oregon is in a really solid place here, that we should take nothing for granted. Unfortunately, these votes in the last few years have been partisan. The Reproductive Equity Act in 2017 was passed entirely by Democrats. And as you read the varying opinions from candidates for governor, and the message there should be that voters who care about this issue should be very cognizant of who they're voting for and what the position of those individuals is on the issue of access to abortion and to reproductive rights. Because this could go away at any time. Oregon is in a strong place because we've had people who really care about this issue in office, if that shifts, the policies can shift as well.
Well, that's a major point, isn't it, as we head to elections in November in Oregon and around the country, for that matter, too. But, I mean, if the composition of the Oregon legislature were to change, if there ended up being a majority Republican and a Republican governor, which hasn't happened in a while, then things could be heading in a very different direction in Oregon.
Exactly the case. And I'm hopeful that that will not be the outcomes in November. But I just think we really understand now, as a result of the Supreme Court statement and some of the follow-up comments that have been made, particularly by Justice Thomas, what is at risk? I mean, this was abortion. Now we're going to see half the states across the country with very limited, if any, access to abortion. What's next on that list of rights? So Oregon needs to be standing up. We need to be doing everything that we can to protect the rights of our own residents. And all of us need to be looking at that federal level and doing everything that we can to send the right representatives to the federal level.
State Representative Pam Marsh, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, as we discuss abortion law in Oregon, where it stands, and what might be coming down the track. You can join us on the exchange with your thoughts on the ruling and where things should go, you think, in either Oregon or California. If you're calling from elsewhere, where they should go there. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. To that opinion you mentioned of Justice Thomas, in which, Justice Alito, saying that this doesn't necessarily have any bearing on anything but the abortion issue, Justice Thomas's concurring brief said, well, yes, we should be looking at those other cases that were decided wrongly, in his opinion, which include same-sex marriage and sodomy and birth control laws. And that sent a little shiver down your spine, Representative Marsh?
I would say a big shiver down my spine. You know, it's really important to realize that the Griswold case, you know, we talk a lot about Roe for obvious reasons, but it was only in 1965 when the Griswold case even confirmed the right of birth control to be used by married couples. Think about that for a minute. Married couples and the right of birth control. That's within the lifespan of many of us. So it is not inconceivable that we could see Roe as the first of other efforts to try to take away the rights that we have taken for granted, that we thought were really protected by the Constitution. And I think all of us are wondering if gay marriage might be on the list of next attacks. So, yes, it's a scary time.
We have been looking at the Oregon legislature actually anticipating the Dobbs decision, and Dan Rayfield apparently put together an access to care work group.
He did. Yeah, we're going to make sure that we are doing everything that we can as these times change. We expect that Oregon, as well as the other states that have strong reproductive policies, will see an influx of people coming here for services. In fact, we're already seeing that. Clinics in Portland are seeing people coming in from Texas in particular. We know that our neighboring state of Idaho is going to basically outlaw abortion within the next 30 to 60 days. That has huge consequences for people in Idaho who are next to Oregon, but it also has consequences for Oregonians who live by the border, who are used to getting care in Idaho. So we have to be ready and ensure that we are protecting our providers who may be providing services to people who come here from out of state, and taking any other steps that we need to take to make sure that clinics are open, that people who are in need of services have support for the ancillary expenses of that, transportation, hotels, childcare, while they are getting services. Our intention is to step up in every way, and Speaker Rayfield's effort was to bring people together to make sure that as this crazy environment changes outside of Oregon, that we are really ready and prepared.
To providing those ancillary services, is that an appropriate place for Oregon to be spending money? Are you talking about spending public money, or is it something more like helping organize private money?
We allocated $15 million toward this, and it will... The intention is for people who are within our state of Oregon, who need support, we're going to make sure that they have that support.
Interesting. So you see Oregon potentially becoming an abortion magnet?
Well, I think all the states, yes. And I think that will be true of a number of states that have abortion as a protected policy. I think you'll see that along the West Coast, and then there are designated states. New York is one on the East Coast. Places where we've really been very clear that abortion can be available to people. I think you will definitely see an influx of people coming in.
Let's go beyond the state level just a bit and just talk about what this says about the United States of America. You know, obviously lots of little points to think about in terms of if you're in a state where abortion is going to stay legal, as it is in Oregon and California, how the services are provided and then how you provide services to people coming from out of the state. But in a landscape where you have states that have abortion that is legal, as it will continue again to be in Oregon and California, but then states nearby where it is not. It is decidedly and emphatically not. I mean, this sets up a country where things are very different state to state.
Absolutely. It's going to be a patchwork of rights available to people. Is that the country that we thought we had? It's not. Is that the country that we have as of Friday? It is.
So what do you think, Representative Marsh, beyond legislative action, and again, you know, things can happen and people do get voted out of office and party power can change, and certainly has over many years in the Oregon legislature. What about the prospect of ballot measures in a state like Oregon where it's relatively easy to put a measure on the ballot? I mean, it takes a lot of signatures, but not much expense beyond that. So pretty much anybody can get something onto the ballot if they have it worded relatively well. Are you concerned about ballot measures that are going to deal with trying to restrict abortion rights? I mean, you talked about the very negative vote on one that attempted to do that recently, but where do you see it going down there?
I don't particularly worry about that because I think Oregonians are really clear on our position on abortion. I mean, that 2018 measure was a result of individuals who put the measure on the ballot. And it was so soundly defeated. I mean, in many ways, it was a good thing to have it on the ballot because it really demonstrated that Oregonians want us to do what we can do with our public dollars to support people who need services. So, you know, people can go through that effort and put it on the ballot, but I think we are very clear on what we want our outcomes to be. So it is not something that causes me a lot of concern.
There were so many responses so quickly, and of course, lots of analysis over the weekend from Friday onward about potential political effects on this. I mean, honestly, is this an opportunity for Democrats to fire up their voters in a year when they were looking to be somewhat reluctant to cast ballots?
Well, I think it's definitely a wake-up call, right? These are the kinds of things that are at risk. We went to sleep. We got some Supreme Court justices who have now shifted the balance of the court, and the result is a direct hit on what we thought were our rights. So I think, yes, Democrats are definitely going to stand up and talk about this because it just needs to be very well understood by voters that what we vote for in November will make a difference. So it's black and white right now.
And in terms of supporting some of the things you've talked about already coming out of the Access to Care work group, are there any things that are already in draft bill form for the 2023 almost session of the legislature?
I am not aware of things in motion right now. We put together that work group so they can really be watching the landscape and figuring out how we need to respond. We've heard these threats, for example, from others that other states might try to take action against healthcare providers who are practicing in a different state. So if that were possibly a thing, we would want to make sure that we provided all the kinds of liability support that we needed for providers within our own state. So we're just, you know, we're going to look at the numbers. We'll see what the influx of services is, and we'll be ready to take action if we need to.
All right. A lot yet to come, obviously, on the abortion issue across America as the states begin to sort by places where abortion is legal, as it is in Oregon, as it is in California, and places where it will very soon not be legal in very many circumstances. Idaho, for example, neighboring Idaho. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange, Representative Pam Marsh of Ashland.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeffrey.